And you can often get to this point where you feel like I'm the one carrying all of this. It wouldn't matter whether I was in a relationship or not. And I think at the core of being in a relationship, we want to feel like our life is made better. It is made more enjoyable. It is an experience we are sharing with someone who values us and loves us. And how can we feel valued and loved and importantly seen when so much of our mental space is occupied with this invisible stuff? Thank you so much for pressing play on today's podcast episode. It's a solo one, and I am unpacking a direct message I received this week in regards to a relationship and expectation. Before we get into that, though, I just want to acknowledge first up, you may or may not, fingers crossed it's a may not, but you may hear like some dulcet tones of construction work that is happening close by my house. We have done our very best. And when I say we, I mean Brendan. Brendan has done his literal best to soundproof this room, but somehow the sound just keeps getting through. I actually spoke about this on yesterday's subscriber episode. Not so much the sound, like I touched on it, but I spoke about how I received a variety of direct messages advising me of ways that I could ask the construction workers to turn down Eminem because that's what their choice of song has been recently. And I unpack like the feminine urge, the feminine impulse that I think is in a lot of us to sweeten the deal, you know, like to turn up with a six pack, to change the way that we approach situations as to not come off like one, a bitch, two, a ball breaker, or three, just someone that wants to be treated like an equal human. But if you want to hear that feminist chat, it is live now as a subs episode. But today, I am unpacking this direct message that came through over the weekend. Just quickly, a word from today's sponsors. Unless, of course, you're one of our Venti members, in that case, there are no ads and your episode is about to keep playing.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So it says, "Hi Kylie, I have always remembered you saying the phrase that the bar was on the floor, and I hope you know what I'm referring to. I've just come to the realization that the bar is also on the floor in terms of what I am expecting and receiving from my husband after 10 years of marriage. Do you have advice or a podcast episode that I could refer to, please, about how to change your mindset and your self-worth around this?" So I responded, we had a couple of messages backwards and forth, and this lovely lady sent through some more context. She said, "In my circumstance, I have come to realize that what I had believed was normal behavior from my husband after being married for 10 years and having two young kids is actually not how things could be. And this has stemmed from conversations with my friends. Or perhaps my expectations are too high and actually this is normal. This could be relating to small things like me cooking all of the meals for the family with zero offers of help or taking a night off ever. My husband doesn't have friends, so if I want to do things for myself or with my own friends, it is frowned upon in a passive aggressive way of saying things like, that's okay to do those things, but then the tone of voice is opposing this. Other things are a lack of emotional support, not willing to have difficult or deep conversations, not wanting to spend time with me if I suggest a coffee or breakfast date. It just goes unnoticed and ignored. And not wanting to hear about personal wins like success at work or a personal best in the gym. I feel unseen when it comes to suggestions such as hiring a cleaner to help as we both work full time, or having a sleep consultant assist with our 3-year-old as I'm told that this isn't required, even though this would be life-changing for me. Also, limited physical intimacy unless it leads to one thing. Again, maybe my expectations are too high, and this is where I question what is normal within a relationship. And then I remember what you have said about the bar being on the floor. Perhaps your circumstances were different though. Thank you for listening and reading. Even writing this has been cathartic. So, I did respond with some voice messages, and there are a lot of different elements happening there in that message, and we can definitely go through and unpack some of the things that have been mentioned here. There's definitely a lot. And I guess, first and foremost, I want to say that so often as women, we do think, oh, I'm asking too much, because what has been shown to us as normal is sadly not enough. Our normal, like what is common, is often not enough. So then we can have this conflicting feeling inside of going, you know what, am I the problem? Like, am I the problem because I'm asking for more? And it can be really hard to know, I think, sometimes, because you're not always engaging in conversations with people where you get the full picture. And sometimes it can be hard to know what's going on in other people's houses and what is truly, I guess, common slash normal. And then, of course, we're all dealing with society and what gets portrayed as normal slash common. And then we all have our own upbringing as well and what was modeled for us. So I do think it is important that we go inward when it comes to our expectations and ask ourselves the question, where does our expectation come from? Because it might be tempting to go, oh, maybe I'm just expecting too much from this human being that I'm doing life with. You know, maybe it's not fair that I expect them to occasionally cook dinner or help parent or congratulate me on a personal best at the gym. You know, maybe I'm asking too much because maybe he's not awful to me. You know, maybe he's not outwardly directly mean to me, and I should just be grateful for the bare minimum, which is the bar on the floor kind of terminology there. But I want everyone listening to be curious about, where does your expectation surrounding a relationship and domestic roles come from? Pretty much everyone is going to have an expectation set, like the bar is going to be set from our own childhood. So be curious about what it is that you observed just in watching the way that your parents interacted, or maybe the fact that you came from a single parent household. Even considering that dynamic, what has that given you in terms of an expectation if you were to be in a relationship? Maybe it wasn't role modeled for you at all. Maybe you grew up in a household with one parent and you never saw that back and forth. You never saw that shared, you know, division, that divide and conquer type thing. So your expectation may be, it will be entirely different from someone else who grew up in a household where things maybe were divided equally. Even recently, my mum sent me a text message and said she was watching some older shows. I think she said Bewitched. And you know, Bewitched is a show that was old when I was a kid, but we loved watching it. You know, I thought that Tabitha was so cute and Sam was so beautiful. And you know, it's a really, I guess, light show in a lot of ways. And I haven't watched it since I was a kid. But mum sent me a message and said she was watching it and she just couldn't believe like the misogyny and almost like, I think she said male supremacy that was shown in this TV show. And that is like, that is the stuff that shapes our expectations as well. That's what shaped the way our parents were brought up and then the way that they brought us up as well. And we cannot deny that we do live in a society that really values males more than AFAB people. It just is what it is. And I don't say that like, oh, it is what it is and we just accept it, but I think that we have to acknowledge it. And so many people, and when I say people, so many men will say, oh no, there's equality. There's not. Like there just isn't. We know that the pay gap exists. We know that there are so many gaps between men and women. Even the fact that we live on a 24-hour cycle, which lines up with a male's hormonal cycle and not a female cycle, is really like just a, you know, a glimpse of the glaring obvious that we live in a world that was designed by men for men. And yes, it's gotten better and yes, we've come further, but it's not equal. And women are still impacted every single day by misogyny and men are not as impacted. I do think misogyny impacts men for sure. And I've been reading Catlin Moran's book, What About Men? And there's no denying it. You know, a male is impacted by toxic masculinity, by misogyny, by these gender roles. And women are impacted more. It just is more significant for us. And so expectations, I think it's a really great point to start off with because so much of this division and feeling unseen and not valued and having low self-worth comes from this dynamic whereby you feel as though you are carrying the majority of the mental and domestic load. And I say mental load, but it's also a physical load. It's the actual intricacies of doing everything or doing far more than your male partner if we're talking about being in a heteronormative relationship. I think it's really important to have a conversation with your partner about expectations. And ideally, you have this conversation at the beginning of a relationship and you work at getting on the same page. But we're not taught this stuff in school. We learn this stuff. We learn how important it is to have these conversations because we all of a sudden realize that they impact our life so monumentally if we don't have them. My hope is that the next generation and the next generation and the next generation all begin to have these conversations with more ease, more transparency, more honesty, and more accountability so that they don't have to go through the personal challenges that come along with your self-worth being eroded because you feel as though you have become effectively a slave for your partner. And a slave that doesn't even get seen or rewarded at all. So where does our expectation come from? Is it now coming from social media? We have to remember that social media is a window that people allow you to look through. Even if you follow an account that seems so incredibly unfiltered, so raw, so real, it is still contrived in a way because there is no way that you can understand 100% of what is going on. People give you a window and tell you to look through that window when there are 100 other windows that you could look through. Instagram is just one. So, expectations, where do they come from? Having real conversations with real people, being really vulnerable and saying, hey, this is something I am struggling with. How does it work in your household? Talk to your parents, talk to your sisters, talk to whoever you can, people at work. It is okay to explore expectations and what is the common experience. And you will realize that there is a real variety of what people have as their normal, where their bar is set. But at least having the conversation about it is really important. There is a really good book that I've spoken about before called Fair Play by Eve Rodsky. And I say it's a really good book. It's also a very basic book in a lot of ways. But the whole premise of that book is to make the invisible load visible. And I think that if you feel like you are carrying 90% of the invisible load or more, or even just more than 50%, it is a worthwhile endeavor to sit down with your partner and say, hey, there are so many tabs that are open and these things are really, really stressing me out. Can we go through this list? Can we divide it more fairly so that I feel valued in this partnership? I will share a couple of books at the end of this conversation as well that may be helpful, but I just wanted to mention that whilst we're talking about the mental and domestic load. So, the logistical load, we have to make the invisible visible, because when we are working away and we're carrying that load, it feels very isolating. And you can often get to this point where you feel like, I'm the one carrying all of this. It wouldn't matter whether I was in a relationship or not. And I think at the core of being in a relationship, we want to feel like our life is made better. It is made more enjoyable. It is an experience we are sharing with someone who values us and loves us. And how can we feel valued and loved, and importantly, seen, when so much of our mental space is occupied with this invisible stuff? I have had people say to me over the years, well, it's really like on the female, you know, it's your responsibility to speak up and talk about these things. You know, it's like that. There's this parody account. It is so funny. Even if you just Google, I don't want to make a list, I'm sure it will come up. And it's this woman and she's singing this song and it is hilarious. And it's about like, I don't want to make a list. I don't want to tell you what you need to do. You should know how to do it. And I think sometimes when people are like, oh, well, it's your fault. Like, it's your fault if you're feeling resentful. Like, there's an element of truth to that, right? Like, it is our responsibility to speak up and to own what we are feeling. But it is so hard to speak up and to actually articulate what it is that you want when society tells us that to be a valued woman, to be a good woman, we are meant to just manage all of this invisible load with no problems. You know, there's that perfect mother myth that I've spoken about with Dr. Sophie Brock, and it is so prevalent in society. You know, it's just another version of that cool girl trope. You know, like the cool girl saying from Gone Girl and from other pop culture references where it's like when you're dating someone, you've got to be the cool girl. Then there's the perfect mother myth, which basically means that everything is effortless. We take it all within our stride. We bounce back. We're always presentable. We're always agreeable. We're intelligent. We work outside of the home, but we work inside of the home too. You know, nothing is a bother. Like, we can manage it all. You can have it all. And if you can't have it all, then you're just not the right kind of person. And it's all so dangerous. But I want to talk about the personal elements of this direct message that came through, because we have that question of, am I asking for too much? And I want to just say to you, no. Like, this podcast episode could just be like one word. No, you are not asking for too much. No, your expectations are not too high. You can reset where the bar is. And I know this, right? Like, I know this. There were times in my life where I would showcase the bare minimum and I got so much, I guess there were accolades that I was with someone who did the bare minimum. Like, oh, show your partner folding towels. Wow, you're so lucky. Show your partner being an involved parent. Oh my gosh, you're so lucky. And I fully lent into that because I thought I was so lucky. And like, when I cast my mind back to expectations for myself, where do my expectations come from? You know, these are conversations I've been having with my mum as well about where did her expectations come from. And something that has transcended our generations, and of course it makes so much sense because you learn from what is role modeled to you, is like, oh, a man that picks his kids up from school is just so fucking incredible. Like, wowee. And as women, we all to varying degrees will experience internalized misogyny, and internalized misogyny can come out in a way of spotlighting behavior that really should be the bare minimum. and getting on that bandwagon of being like, wow, look how great my partner is. And that was fully me. Like, that was so me being like, oh my gosh, look at this. My partner cleans the bathroom. And now I just feel so sad that I was like adding to that inner misogyny, that internalized misogyny, that wow, I'm so lucky and I must be the right kind of person if I've got a partner who will do the fucking bare minimum. So no, you are not expecting too much. Have the expectation conversation with your partner and get curious about what was role modeled for him. In this situation, it's a him. And then also go a little bit deeper and wonder like, and do you think that was fair? You know, if there was some clear division there of like the woman works in the house and the man works out of the house and, you know, the woman should have the slippers at the door and the beer waiting and all of that rubbish. Ask your partner, like, do they feel that that is truly fair, or have they accepted that as their expectation? That's where their bar is set and they've never questioned it. They've never been curious about what that's like for either person. Have that conversation. We're going to talk about communication. But before we do that, I want to talk about like the personal elements in this message. Something that stood out to me was the line about feeling unseen. I feel unseen. And the reason it stuck out to me is because I've been learning a little bit more about like the four S's of attachment theory. And so if you haven't heard about the four S's, this is what they are: seen, secure, soothed, and safe. We all want to feel those four things at a minimum from our main caregiver as a child. And then as we get older, as we know with attachment, we often transfer that attachment over to a romantic partner. And so we want to feel seen, secure, soothed, and safe with our romantic partner. Those are four things that can go a long way in making a relationship really thrive. So let's unpack it. What does feeling seen in your relationship mean to you? Can you have a conversation with your partner about these things as well? And I actually think in this instance, this lady who has sent through this message has identified what feeling seen is for her. You know, she's said off the top of her head, feeling seen would be just like recognizing my personal best in the gym. Feeling seen is going, oh my gosh, you cook dinner every single night. Let me cook dinner every other night. You know, let me step in and take some of that load from you. Feeling seen, going, wow, you have been impacted for 3 years or however long by our child not sleeping. Our child, the child we made together, we are both parents of, is impacting you so significantly and you work full time as well. What can we do to find a solution? Maybe I personally am not excited about the thought of getting a sleep consultant in, but I see you and I see your struggles and I care so deeply about you that I will do whatever it takes to help you feel seen. I want every single person listening right now to think about, what is it that makes you feel seen in your partnership? And if you are single, what would you like? How would you like to be seen in your romantic partnership? Is it to do with that invisible load being more visible? Is feeling seen about, you know, your partner literally being more curious about your day or noticing the things that you are doing? Is it your partner coming to you with an interesting question because they're curious about you?
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So often in long-term relationships, we begin to think that we know the other person so well that we don't need to ask them things. No, I don't need to ask her a question because I know how she will answer because I have been with her for 10 years. No, I don't need to ask his thoughts on this topic because I have a fair idea what he's going to say. And when we have that level of familiarity, on one hand, it can make us feel safe and close to someone, but it can also make us feel incredibly bored and uninteresting. And it can feel so much like the person isn't aware that you are also always evolving. We should always be aiming to change in terms of learning more, feeling differently about ourselves, understanding ourselves more. And so I think being seen is also remembering that you don't know every single thing about your partner. And if we stay in this position of feeling like we know every single thing about our partner, we run the risk of not really seeing them for who they are in the current moment, and things will feel a bit stagnant and certainly not exciting. You know, that's part of that limerence period when you are first in a romantic partnership and everything is exciting. It's unpredictable. You don't know what the other person is going to say. You don't know all of their stories. And whilst you may feel like you know every single story of your partner because you've been together for a decade or more, you don't. You don't know every single story. You don't know every single experience. You don't know every single thought that's passing through their head, thankfully. But feeling seen is sometimes like, hey, I want to know who you are right now in this moment. And I want to bring back some of that curiosity and fascination. You know, when you first get together and you stay up all night talking because you're just so hungry to understand the person. Once you're in a long-term partnership, that hunger really isn't there. And so how can you bring about that curiosity and see someone for who they are right now? Secure is number two when it comes to the four S's. So secure can mean a variety of things in a different, you know, for a variety of different people. Secure when you're a child might be that you know that your parent is going to pick you up from school every afternoon, and you know that if you have a really big tantrum, your parent is going to keep their cool and they're going to be there for you. Secure in a relationship can still be those things. It's knowing that the person is reliable. It's knowing that you are not going to knock them over with something that you're going through. It's having confidence that you can share what it is that you are carrying with your partner. I think it would be really hard if you were going through something and you have this like worry that you can't share it with your partner because maybe you don't trust how they're going to take that knowledge on. You know, maybe you want to go to your partner and disclose something that has happened to you, but you're worried that if you disclose it, they're going to fly off the handle and go and have this big reaction and embarrass you. You know, that's just an example of feeling secure, knowing that your partner is stable and that the relationship is secure enough to handle difficult conversations. And this may very well be a very difficult conversation for a lot of people. If you are listening to this episode and you're like, I need to sit down and I need to talk to my partner right now about these four S's, that could be really uncomfortable. But knowing that your partner is secure in themselves and that they can hold the space for this conversation and hold the space to see you without them being fragile, you know, that is part of secure. Soothed. Soothed is another one. Obviously, as a child, if we are upset, we want our main caregivers to soothe us, whether that's with a hug, with kind words, providing some medicine, tucking us in at night, seeing our worries, really calming us down, giving us a hug, letting us use their nervous system. You want to feel soothed in a relationship as well, not aggravated. So if you are feeling the weight of that invisible load or something challenging is going on in your life, like your child's not sleeping and you're the one that is being mainly impacted, how can you be soothed by your partner and how can we soothe our partners as well? And that doesn't mean that we need to baby them and infantilize them and become their parent, but soothing in the way of not aggravating is my understanding of it. You want your partner to be a safe space for you. And that doesn't mean that you're perfect all the time. You know, there are going to be times when your partner might come to you and you're like, oh my gosh, you do my head in. I need to walk away for 5 minutes before I can respond in a way that is actually going to be helpful for either of us. This isn't about having a perfect partnership, but it's about understanding how can I feel safe in my attachment to the person I am choosing to do life with? Are you soothing each other or are you aggravating or ignoring each other? And safe. Again, safe, I think, can be laced with secure as well. And all of these, like they're all linked. They're all part of a chain. Feeling safe in your partnership, again, safe to talk about the difficult things, safe that you're not going to become invisible, safe that they have your best interest at heart. You know, and that's something that I think is helpful if you are going to approach this conversation with someone. It's saying, hey, there's some things that I want to go over, and we can talk about communication in a minute, but you know, there are some things that I want to go over, but I want to also have a really clear common goal that we are each other's biggest supporters and we are on the same page as each other. Let's come at this as a team, not as opponents. And that's what happens, I think, in a lot of partnerships is you either feel like housemates or you feel like opponents and you're keeping score and resentment is building and it's just getting worse and worse and worse. If you can reset and say, okay, I want you to feel like I am on your team because I love you so much and I want to feel like you're on my team as well. You know, we both deserve that. We both deserve a common goal of feeling loved and treating each other well and treating each other respectfully. And that is a two-way street. Respect is noticing the invisible load that your partner is doing. Respect is going, oh my gosh, I'm devastated. I am devastated that you don't feel seen in this relationship. What can we do? And I'm not saying that we should never tailor our approach when it comes to communication, particularly if you've listened to yesterday's subscriber episode where I talk about this like female thing where we feel like we have to soften everything and how I'm just so over it. At the same time, I think there are ways that we can come at difficult conversations that do allow the other person to hear us more. If we are coming at someone, and if someone is coming at us, really pointing the finger and really aggressive, it's human nature, I think, to shut down and to kind of lose the ability to understand their perspective. So I think having a pre-conversation, if you can, where you're saying like, look, there are a couple of things I want to talk about, but I also want to make sure that we are so committed to hearing each other's point of view. Because if you are going to come into this conversation with your arms literally and figuratively crossed over your chest and be unwilling to hear me and unwilling to validate me, there's not a lot of point in having this conversation. This has to be a conversation that we are both coming at from a position of going, this is a person that I hold sacred to me, that I feel so much about, and I want to understand their experience. And again, two-way street, you want to understand your partner's experience as well. And I think that's where the expectation component is really fascinating, because we tend to think that what our normal is everyone's normal. And there's actually a brilliant book that I suggest everyone reads. It's called Relationship Reset by Lissy Abrahams. And the thing that I love about this book is Lissy talks about what was role modeled for you as a child in a way that I think garners so much empathy for yourself and for anyone that you are in a relationship with. So I did mention there were some books I was going to share. Relationship Reset by Lissy Abrahams. There's a book called, oh my gosh, The Course of Love. That's what it's called. The Course of Love by Elaine de Botton. That's a brilliant book. I've spoken about it before for anyone who is in a long-term relationship. That book, from kind of like a philosophical, but also a scientific and evidence-based and anecdotal as well. There's also a story in it, so I think it makes it more accessible. There's a few stories, But that book talks about how love changes over time. And I think that we have to understand that trajectory of love shifting from limerence into a long-term partnership and the things that are kind of expected along the way in the different seasons and how we can manage those different seasons to still see and feel the love. Because that's a real shame. Like, it's a real shame when we can't see it and feel it and know it. And truly, I just think that if you go to your partner and you say, I'm not feeling seen, and their response is to not validate you and to become defensive and to deflect and to point the finger at other things, that is a real shame. And you may need some outside guidance. You may need to get in front of a counselor or a therapist and have some support to create that space, particularly if you do struggle to articulate what it is you're trying to say. It can be really, really hard when the person that you have so much emotion and so much love for isn't able to get past their defensiveness to hear you. And that doesn't mean that it will always be that way. I think absolutely people can learn new ways of communicating, but there has to be a huge level of commitment on your partner's behalf to do that. Like, to be able to say, hey, the way that you are responding is inflammatory and it is making the situation worse. And I am literally here coming at this because I love you and I care about you and I want this relationship to be amazing. It doesn't mean perfect, but to be amazing in terms of meeting all of our needs. And I also think that if you come at it from a point of view of going, hey, I want to meet your needs too. Now, that doesn't mean that we're like being submissive and doing anything they want, but on a base level, what are your needs? Let's talk about it. And I think some men will really struggle to articulate their needs. And that's when you can start talking about things like, hey, what does feeling seen mean to you? You know, even at work, like, how does it feel for you if you feel like you're not being seen at work, which sucks that you even have to liken it to that? But some workarounds may be putting that language in different situations and really being honest and really being vulnerable and saying, this is how I feel in our romantic partnership and I want to take responsibility for my part in it and I want you to take responsibility for your part in it because we need to address this now. This is not the path that I want to continue down. So, Alain de Botton, The Course of Love, Fair Play by Eve Rotsky, Liss's book, Relationship Reset. There are some great books written by John and Julie Gottman. They've got so many books, so many books. And something that the Gottmans talk about is they say they can predict whether a relationship will like stand the test of time based off how many bids for attention people ignore or respond to. If you haven't heard this terminology, basically John and Julie Gottman talk about how in relationships, we're always making bids for connection and I guess bids for attention as well. And you could even say bids for affection, but we'll go with connection. So we're always making a bid for connection. And sometimes our partners pick that bid up and like return serve and we feel connected. And sometimes our partners do not pick that bid for attention up. And maybe sometimes it is genuine ignorance and genuinely being oblivious to your attempt to connect. And other times it's intentional. Other times your partner may be not picking up that bid for connection because they are distracted, because they don't want to connect. They're trying to do something else. They don't value it. They expect that you'll always be there. There's, you know, a million reasons why people might not return serve the connection. But once you start to notice the ways that you are making a bid for connection and the ways that your partner is making a bid for connection, it does change the relational dynamic. So a bid for connection could be as simple as a sigh. You know, your partner could be like, let's lean into the real, you know, gender stereotype, heteronormative thing of like, maybe your partner's sitting there on the couch with a beer and they're watching the football and you are cleaning the house and you sigh. Maybe you are sighing because you're trying to make a bid for connection in terms of connecting your reality to your partner's reality. You're trying to bridge that gap there without the words, because we've all been told, don't be a nag, don't expect too much, be grateful, be quiet, be compliant, be that perfect mother myth and just clean the fucking house in silence. So your sigh could be saying so much more than just an exhale. And if your partner catches it and says, oh, babe, you good? Do you want a hand? Let me turn this off. Let me pause this, because we can pause TV. Let me pause this and help out, or come and sit down with me and then we'll do that together. You know, just any sort of acknowledgement. But often that sigh would go completely unheard, unresponded to, or even worse, it may be aggravated and be like, oh, stop carrying on. If you don't want to clean up, don't clean up. You know, it's just going to get messy again, or whatever it might be. So there's like a neutral response, which is kind of nothing, or there's like a negative response to your bid for connection. And eventually, if you get so many negative responses that aggravate this bid for connection, you will just stop attempting to connect. And then you will find connection in other places, in friendships, in social media, in books, wherever it might be. But you're no longer as connected to this person that is meant to be someone who is like a primary figure in your life, that is meant to be someone you are attached to. And those four S's, they go under threat, because you're not feeling seen, you're not feeling secure, you're certainly not feeling soothed or safe. So I think that bid for connection is a really helpful tool to notice, when are you doing it? Are there times that you're trying to connect that are going completely ignored? And do you need to even be more clear and say, hey, like, what I'm trying to say here is, I too would like to be sat on my bottom watching something I enjoy. But the reality is, we made children together. We have a responsibility here. You know, so maybe it is putting language around your bids for connection, and maybe it's noticing when your partner is trying to connect with you, because none of us are perfect. So maybe at night they're sitting there and they lean across and put their hand on your leg and you're just like, you know what? Not even looking up from your phone, not interested, a million miles away. So then they might begin to feel rejected, and then their four S's comes under attack as well. So no one is like impervious to ignoring bids for connection. We all do it at times, and it's not about having a perfect strike rate, but it is about awareness and having a pretty good strike rate and knowing what is important. So any books by John and Julie Gottman may be really helpful for you as well. And I feel like they're written in a very digestible way. They're not super high level, they're not super spiritual. It's quite practical and quite relatable, the way that it is explained. I'm sure that once I finish recording, I'll think of other books as well to recommend, but those are just kind of four that I think are a really great starting point. I also think when it comes to like the limited physical intimacy, unless your partner's wanting sex, like so many of us have been in that situation where it's like, no, you just genuinely want a hug. And I think this all comes back to feeling seen and secure and all of those things. And just having your partner touch you when you know that they just want to have sex is an awful feeling. And it, again, it's kind of like the tip of the iceberg, right? Because it puts you in that situation again to feel like you are in service. And you're probably, I'm gonna guess here, you probably already feel like you spend 99.99% of your day in service to other people. And so then sex doesn't even become something that is fun. And sex is fun, and sex should be fun, and it is enjoyable, and it should be something that you look forward to with your partner. And it's not when you feel like you are in servitude to everyone but yourself. And so then when that, you know, back rub comes along, or that attempt, that bid for physical connection comes along, rather than feeling any sort of excitement surrounding that, it's likely that you're just going to feel more resentment. Like, oh yes, so you see me when you choose. And that's a horrible feeling as well, because you want to be seen in entirety, not just as a mum, not just as someone that cooks their dinner every night, not just someone who deals with a child that won't sleep. You want to be seen as an individual, not just someone that they get to have sex with every now and then when they choose it. All of these things are so connected. And I know that it's such a big topic. It really, really is. And it's not like a one and done conversation. It's not as though you can go to someone and say, hey, have you heard of these four S's? Great. Awesome. Glad we had that chat. And from tomorrow onwards, everything is going to be okay. It is an ongoing conversation and an ongoing commitment. And you deserve to be with someone who is committed to doing the work with you so that you feel really good and you feel really whole. And you also have to do the work for yourself. We can't outsource it. And I also do think that it is really common that in relationships, it's so much easier to point the finger outwards than it is to point it inwards. But I tend to feel like so often the finger is pointing inwards at women. It's like you aren't in your feminine energy enough. You have too high expectations, when that's not the truth at all. If you enjoyed this episode, have a listen to yesterday's subs episode, because I'm unpacking how in a past relationship I felt like I had to show up, and I give very, very clear, very true examples. So I feel like my voice is going, it's getting scratchy. I truly hope that the construction and the dulcet tones of Eminem coming through my back wall hasn't been too distracting. I appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this style of solo episode, let me know, because I am truly trying to take on board that feedback that came through. I have a few more interviews that I will be sharing, but if you let me know about the episodes that you enjoy, that is so incredibly valuable for me. Thank you for listening. If you know of someone who is feeling like the bar is on the floor when it comes to their romantic relationship, copy and paste. Send them this episode. Food for thought. Maybe it will be really transformative. Thank you again for listening. Before you run off, I just wanted to mention that over on Sunroom, you're going to find exclusive content that will be seen nowhere but Sunroom. And the reason for this is Sunroom is a safe platform. Things can't be screenshotted, they can't be shared or taken out of context, really. Sunroom is the inner circle, and I am over there sharing workouts, reflections, honest, truly raw thoughts and feelings, instant reactions to certain things that are going on in my life, and so much more. Over there, you can also organize your own custom experience. If you've ever wanted to book a mentoring session with yours truly to perhaps take your idea for your own podcast and start creating. Maybe you have a podcast already, but you really want to learn some of the tricks of the trade when it comes to monetizing, streamlining, pitching to guests, or just creating a stronger podcast in general. I'm the first person to say I am not a business strategist, but I certainly am someone who loves the podcasting space. And with over 400 episodes under my belt, I will happily help you to learn from the mistakes I've made in the past and to cut out some of those tricky lessons and to just benefit from that experience. I love talking about podcasting and personal branding. So if you want to book a session with me, you can do that through Sunroom as well. You can also receive personalized voice notes and advice and so much more over there. Link is in the show notes, so come on over, join the inner circle, and the circle is small, so the messages are getting answered quickly, and I am available to you over through the Sunroom app. Link is in the bio. Today's podcast episode was recorded on the land of the Bundjalung Nation. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.